Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy.
Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place this morning. I want you all to know. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I may ask you to stand back up soon, but give you a little break. Romans tells us that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Old Testament tells us our works are as filthy rags. There's absolutely nothing we can do to earn salvation. You can be the best person ever to walk on the face of the earth. You're not good enough to be in the presence of God. There's only one way for that to happen, and that is found in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the only way to God. God made one way. He didn't make Buddha. He didn't make Confucius. He didn't make any Muhammad or any other religious way. There is one way. Jesus is that way. And he loves you so much that he wants everyone. He gave his only son that the whole world could be saved. I want you to know this. I want to make sure that you do not go out of this place this morning not realizing what it takes, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He is Lord. He's alive. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to leave it at that right now. Wow. God is so good to us. Causes incredible things to happen. Speaks when we're not even ready to hear what he has to say. But he wants us to know how much he loves us. Jesus Christ gave up everything. Gave up heaven, gave up the glory of heaven to come to this earth as a man, God incarnate. Walked this earth, died on the cross for our sins, but defeated death and hell by coming back to life. What an awesome God we serve. That's our God. Amen. All right. We've been talking about the wonderful names of God. God's names are wonderful, and we've been looking at the Old Testament. I've read, and I haven't checked this out, but I read one scholar who said there's over 300 names of God in the Bible. Well, we're not going to look at all 300 of those names, so you can relax. We have started looking at 15 of those Old Testament names. The first one we looked at was Adonai, which means Lord, Jehovah or Yehovah, self-existent one. And then today we're going to look at Elohim, which is the third name that we're looking at. Names are very important. I'm sure that each and every one of you do recognize how important your individual name is. Some people don't like their name, so they get their names changed. But your name, the name that your parents gave you, is very important to you. It has heritage attached to it. So you should embrace it. If you happen to go to Lake City, Florida someday, and you run into a 50-something fellow with a sandy mustache, a receding hairline, and aviator glasses, you just might be in the presence of I am who I am. And the reason that that's his name, which he changed it to that, was because Lakeland, Florida would not allow him to change it to God. He wanted to change his name to God. Can you imagine that? And the reason he wanted to do that is because he said that he just needed an identity change. Well, he definitely needs an identity change. Someday he's going to come into the presence of the true I am that I am. Yeah. Names are very important. And these names that we're talking about in regards to God tell us a great deal about his character. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And that word God there is Elohim. In this context that it's being used, it means supreme God or the one true God. Now, that's important because the word can mean other things depending on the context. It can mean, it can be referring to rulers, can be referring to judges, can be referring to other divine entities, false gods, and even angels. Elohim can be referring to angels in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, beginning with verse 1, we see a king by the name of Amaziah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. So he did some good things, but his heart was not loyal to the Lord. Excuse me. And the word Lord here is Jehovah or Jehovah. Because he did some right things in the sight of the Lord, the Edomites came against him, and God rescued him from them. But after God rescued him and the Israelites from the Edomites, he took the gods, the Elohim, and set them up, the gods of the Edomites, and set them up to worship. And that made God very angry at him because he was worshiping other gods. Josiah, the king of Israel, this was the king of Judah, the Amaziah. Josiah, the king of Israel, was a very powerful king. And Amaziah, after defeating the Edomites, decided he wanted to fight with Israel. And Josiah, the king of Israel, tried to warn him not to come out against him. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 20, it says this, "But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God," or from Elohim, "that he might give them into the hands of their enemies, because they sought the gods, the Elohim, of Edom." And as we can see, this word Elohim, in used in this, depending on the context, it means the most high God, or it can mean other gods or angels or other things. What we need to see, what we need to understand here, is that we're talking about, when we say our God, when we talk about the most supreme high God, and it's rendered Elohim in these scriptures, we're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has created all things. And he can protect and deliver, or at the same time, he can deliver into the hands of our enemies and destroy. Zechariah the prophet told Zerubbabel when he was building the second temple, he said this, Zechariah 4:6, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. By the Spirit of God. It's not God. It's not us. We do nothing according to our power. We're not able even to minister to one another through the power that we have. It must be the Spirit of God moving through us. By the Spirit of Elohim, all things are accomplished. Remember, you are a spirit that has a soul realm that lives in a body. When you're born again, your spirit is born again. You became a new spirit, but it affects your soul realm as well. Your soul begins to think differently. You have different thoughts. You think about God in different ways. You read the Word of God. If any of you in here, before you became born again, you picked up the Bible and you tried to read it, sometimes it was pretty confusing. But once the Spirit of God enters you, He begins to interpret the Bible to you. You see it in a new light. You begin to understand it in a different way. So you're not only is your spirit born again, but your soul realm is also affected by this born again experience that we have. In Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, first of all, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do you transform your mind? First of all, you're born again, and then your mind can be transformed by the Word of God. That you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the living God. John 4:4, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. We have a greater one living inside of us. There is nothing that can separate us from God, the Scripture tells us. No height, no depth, no demon, no force in heaven or on earth can separate us from our God. Elohim, the supreme God, lives in you. Therefore, you can agree with the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 8:17 also says, I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Yeah. Seek Him. You'll find Him. We sang that song this morning. If you call out to Him, He will come and He will rescue you no matter what's going on. I have experience with that. I saw God rescue me, rescue my family. Over 44 years ago, 2 kids, we were young adults, Rob and Tammy, sought Elohim early in their life. And God showed up. God made changes in our life. He set us on a course, and we still had all the flaws, all the hang-ups, all the quirks, all the things that made us sinners still in our life. And yet, we had had an experience with the Lord God Almighty. We came into a new understanding what it meant to be children of the living God. He came into our hearts. He changed our lives. Some of you in here have had some of those same experiences in your life. God has dealt with you. God has led you. He's directed you. He's ordered your steps. Some of you more recently come into the body of Christ. Some of you may not be believers in here. God's calling you this morning. He's calling you into a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to rescue you. Salvation is all about being rescued. Rescued from ourselves, rescued from this world, and rescued from hell's fire. There's a lot of things that we're rescued from. What an awesome God we have, that He would not leave us to our own devices. He set us free by the blood of the Lamb. If you listen closely this morning, I believe you'll hear the Holy Spirit whisper the same words that He whispered through Mordecai to Esther when their people were threatened with destruction. In Esther 4:14, it says, "If you remain completely silent at this time, deliverance will arise from the Jews, for the Jews, from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this?" Who knows? Perhaps we have all been called, everyone sitting in here this morning, into the kingdom for such a time as this. These are difficult times, and these are awesome times. These are times when the world is in turmoil. But these are times where the church can rise up and be a very important light to the rest of the world. We can be a lighthouse, and the world can see that even though things are falling apart in the world, we're standing on a solid, firm foundation called the Rock, Jesus Christ. Fourth name I want to talk to you this morning about is El Elyon, God Most High. In Genesis 14:18, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High." That's the word El Elyon. "And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all." Our God is God Most High. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. That's why He can be with you and me and billions of people in this earth all at the same time. He is supernatural beyond anything that we can even imagine. The phrase God Most High or Most High God, El Elyon. El is short for Elohim, and Elyon means Most High. It's the name of the God in the Hebrew Bible. It truly means that He is above everything and all gods. He's above any other God that you could name on this earth or in this earth. All the gods that have been set up in the lives of individuals, He is above and beyond all those gods. And of course, most of those gods are not even, they're nothing to them. Most of them are materialism, but there's also supernatural beings, demonic forces that sets up standards and strongholds in people's lives. He's above those things, and He wants to deliver His people from all those forces of evil. If we call out, He will rescue. This name speaks of God's strength, sovereignty, majesty, and preeminence. It also used to describe God as the possessor of heaven and earth and the creator of all things. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 2, "But God said to King Solomon, 'I've raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth.'" I'm sorry, I misread that. "But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, 'I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth.'" The main thing that is expressed in this is God's supremacy over all things. In Psalms 50, verse 10, it says, "For every beast of the forest and mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalms 104, verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." El Elyon is the Most High God, the possessor of all things. And we are only stewards in this earth. And when we come to grips with that, then we can understand that these things that we steward over are not ours. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, I want you to release this thing into somebody's life. I want you to release this amount of money for this ministry or for this mission work. It's not so hard to let go of when we know that we're just stewards over it. It's all God's. And God has promised that whatever we let go of, He will return. He promises that. It's not so hard to let go of material things. Clothing. God tells you to give something away. Give it. It's not so hard to get rid of something that is near and dear to your heart. No matter what it is that you're doing or that you have, that you love, don't be surprised that God would say to you, I want you to release that thing. I want you to give that to somebody. Why does He do that? Why does He do those things in our life? Why does He call us to do things that make us really uncomfortable and make us feel like we're losing something? Because He wants to see just how much we trust Him. He's not trying to hurt you in any way. He loves you so much that if you can let go, if you can release. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. That's good to know. That makes me feel good. Amen. Yes. Amen. We've got to recognize that God is going to speak to you, and He's probably going to speak to some of you in here this morning and throughout this week, that He's telling you to release something so that He can pour more blessing into your life. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men. He'll cause other people to give into your life when you release it. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is talking to His followers about stewardship. And He tells them how important it is for them to release things into other people's lives. John Wesley, there's a quote from John Wesley. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. This kind of flies in the face of what the world tells us to do. Gather up everything you can get. You know? Get it all. The world philosophy is get all you can all you get, set on the can. Keep it. Keep it. It's yours. God's word says release it because it's not yours. It's mine. And when you release it into somebody else's life, the blessings will flow. They'll be poured into your life. El Elyon is the possessor of all things. He's given us the honor of being stewards of the things that He has given us. Over the years, Tammy and I have, God has spoken to us to give numerous things away. And I can't tell you it's always easy. You know, He's told us to give cars away. He's told us to give clothing and food and money, He's always speaking to us about sowing seed into other people's lives. And I want you to understand something about sowing seed. When God speaks to you, do not judge whether you should follow through with giving to that person or that individual or that ministry based on whether they appear to be prosperous. It's not about their prosperity. Not about what they appear to be doing or able to do. It's about being obedient to what God speaks to your heart. And if God has prospered somebody, praise God, that's awesome. I want him to prosper. But you are just adding to that prosperity and you're being obedient to that. That's a tough one because sometimes we have a tendency to look at people and say, oh, they don't need anything I have. But if God speaks to your heart, listen and obey. But I will say this, don't let anyone ever twist your arm into doing something that God has not spoke to your heart about. There's a lot of manipulation in the body of Christ. They will manipulate you and con you out of your money. Listen to the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You don't need someone else telling you what to do or how to do it. If someone makes a plea for an offering, listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to what God's saying to you. Follow through and be obedient to God's Spirit. That's all I ever try to do here. I don't care what's going to happen in the future. We know that God is in control. Makes no difference what's happening out there in the world. I'm telling you the incredible things that God has done here in this place with finances, in individual lives, and with this church. It just blows my mind. We are down to under $100,000 now on our mortgage. And understand how great a miracle that is. We started out at over $1 million. God is good.
Yeah, he is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's incredible. But I want you to know something. Never have we ever tried to manipulate people into giving. We've always given people opportunity. You can pledge. You can be a partner if you want to be. If you want to be, get on board with this and what God is doing, we welcome you.
That's right.
But we want you to do it with a joyful heart, we want you to be a joyful giver, because that's so important in regards to giving. Our God is such an awesome and mighty God. He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. He'll never give us up. And if we are obedient to His Word, He will lead us into more glorious things than we can ever imagine. One day soon, we're all going to give account for the way we managed our possessions. We're going to stand before the Lord. And He's going to say, what'd you do with what I gave you? Did you increase it? Or did you hide it away like the evil steward did? Fearful. It's not going to be based on God. Let me put it this way. God is not going to judge you by someone else's standard. God's going to judge you based on what He told you to do and what He gave you. If you take that and you use it and you increase it and you prosper in it, that's when He's going to look at you and recognize you as being faithful in His kingdom. Is this about salvation? Absolutely not. I'm not trying to tell you that there's a salvation by works. But it's very clear in Corinthians that we are going to be judged, our works are going to be judged, and we're going to receive gifts from the Lord based on the things that we do with what we have in this world. It's incredible. We have an awesome God. He gives us incentive to do things for His kingdom. So we're looking forward to what God says to us on that day when we stand before Him. Because we've taken what we have and we've used it to glorify His kingdom and build up His kingdom. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It can be a glorious thing to be in the hands of a living God if we are obedient to Him. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to have a general prayer this morning. If Glory. Please bow your head with me for a moment. Glory. Thank you, Father. Spirit of the Lord is still moving in this place this morning. And He wants you to know His ways are not your ways. And His thoughts are not your thoughts. So when He speaks to your heart, do not allow your reasoning. I think this is what He's saying. Do not allow your reasoning to get in the way of what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It's always a good thing to be logical about every situation that you enter into. But sometimes, there are times that God leads us into circumstances and life situations that our logic just needs to be thrown out the door, and we got to trust God. And He's saying to you this morning, just trust me. Trust me. And I will not lead you astray. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you this morning that you touch the hearts of your people. Lord, that we will hear your voice. That we will be obedient to your word. Lead us, direct us, Father God. Speak to us. That we'll do, we will go when you say go, and we will come when you say go. Come, we will stop when you tell us to stop. Allow your Spirit to stir inside of us. We will truly hear your voice, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, as we go from this place this morning, that you're speaking to the hearts and the minds of your people. Father, we're going to leave this place today. We're going to go out into a mission field. And we're going to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. Thank you, Lord God, as you lead us, you direct us, you encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.